Welcome to HN Pod, your daily conversation about the top stories, trends, and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for joining us for episode number 386. Today, we are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, May 4th, 2026. We've got a really wild lineup today. We are talking about a highly analytical approach to making friends at the gym, a massive and completely unexpected takeover bid by GameStop for eBay, some spicy open source drama involving a fake Notepad++ app, a new EU mandate for removable smartphone batteries, and a debate over how Microsoft Edge handles passwords and memory.
It is a great mix today, covering everything from human psychology to corporate finance and deep tech. Let us start with the top story from yesterday, which got over 1,200 points. It is a personal blog post by Theon and Tran titled, "Talking to 35 Strangers at the Gym." It is such a classic Hacker News post because it takes a very human, emotional problem and applies a strict, almost scientific procedure to it.
Exactly. The author describes himself as a recent college grad who is feeling incredibly lonely. He was looking up advice on how to make friends and kept seeing the same tip, which is to do your hobby with other people frequently. His main hobby, besides programming, was going to the gym, but he was terrified of being that annoying person who interrupts someone's workout. He actually pulled up a Reddit thread showing how much people hate being bothered at the gym to validate his fear.
But he pushed through it anyway. He created a formal problem statement. "I am lonely and have no friends." Then he created a procedure. Every day for a month, he picked one person he saw frequently, waited for them to finish a set, and approached them. He even tracked the data, categorizing the conversations by length and noting the aftermath. It is incredibly vulnerable and brave.
The results were actually pretty heartwarming. He did not become best friends with everyone, of course. Some people gave short answers and clearly wanted to be left alone, which he respected. But he ended up having several medium and long conversations. He even met a guy he now chats with every week and another guy who gives him fitness advice.
The Hacker News comments on this were fantastic. One of the top comments brought up Dale Carnegie's famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The commenter pointed out that the author was giving people genuine compliments without any hidden agenda. He would just walk up and say, "Hey, you're pretty strong. What's your split?"
That sparked a really interesting debate in the thread. A lot of people mentioned that they avoided Dale Carnegie's book for years because they thought it was some manipulative red pill guide to tricking people into liking you. But the core message of that book, which came out in the 1930s, is actually just about being genuinely interested in other people. If you want people to like you, be nice, be sincere, and show enthusiasm for the things they care about.
Right. Humans have a highly tuned radar for authenticity. As one commenter put it, if a salesperson starts aggressively complimenting you and repeating your name, it sets off alarm bells because they want something from you. But when a stranger at the gym just sincerely admires your lifting routine and expects nothing in return, it is a completely different dynamic. It just shows that stepping outside your comfort zone and treating people with genuine curiosity still works, even in 2026.
Moving from wholesome human connections to absolute corporate chaos, our next story is about GameStop making a $55.5 billion takeover offer for eBay. Yes, you heard that right. GameStop is trying to buy eBay. This story had the entire tech and finance community doing a double take yesterday.
It really sounds like a headline from a parallel universe. GameStop is offering $125 a share in cash and stock, which is a massive premium over eBay's closing price. GameStop CEO Ryan Cohen is claiming that under his leadership, eBay will become a legitimate competitor to Amazon. He even said he would take no salary or bonuses if the deal goes through, compensating himself solely based on performance.
To put this in perspective, eBay is worth about 4 times more than GameStop. GameStop has a market cap of around $11.9 billion right now. They are planning to finance this with $20 billion in debt from TD Securities. Analysts are naturally very skeptical. Morgan Stanley pointed out the fundamentally different business models, and Forrester warned that this would just saddle eBay with GameStop's debt.
But the Hacker News comments really dug into the mechanics and the weird logic of why this might actually make sense. One commenter pointed out something brilliant. GameStop is essentially set up as a legal pawn shop in every state. They buy used goods, hold them, and resell them. If you merge a national chain of physical pawn shops with the world's biggest online auction house, the synergies are actually kind of wild.
That comment blew my mind. Imagine wanting to sell something on eBay, but instead of taking photos, writing a description, and shipping it, you just walk into your local GameStop. They appraise it, hand you cash on the spot, and then they list it on eBay and handle the fulfillment. Or they offer it as a local pickup option for eBay buyers. It bridges the gap between physical retail and e-commerce in a way neither company could do alone.
There was also a huge debate in the comments about GameStop's financial health. A lot of people casually say GameStop made $1 billion in profit during the 2021 meme stock craze. But financially literate commenters were quick to correct that. They did not make a profit from their business operations back then. They issued new shares while the price was artificially high, diluting existing shareholders to raise a massive war chest of cash.
Exactly. Though, to be fair to Ryan Cohen, GameStop did report a net profit of over $400 million in 2025. But as the comments noted, more than half of that profit actually came from interest income on their massive pile of cash, not from selling video games. Their core retail revenue is still shrinking. So in a way, GameStop using their meme stock war chest to buy a cash-generating machine like eBay might be their only viable long-term survival strategy. It is going to be fascinating to see if eBay's board actually entertains this.
Let us pivot to some open source drama. Our third story is about a trademark violation involving a fake Notepad++ app for Mac. Don Ho, a creator and maintainer of the legendary Windows text editor, Notepad++, posted a fiery warning on the project's official website.
Yeah, someone set up a website called notepad-++-mac.org, claiming to offer an official macOS version of the software. But it gets worse. They did not just port the app, they used the official Notepad++ branding, and they literally copied Don Ho's name and personal biography onto their site to make it look like he endorsed it.
Don Ho was furious, and rightly so. He made it crystal clear that Notepad++ has never released a Mac version, and this site is completely unauthorized. He told his community that if they see anyone on Reddit or Discord celebrating that Notepad++ is finally on Mac, they need to call it out as a fake.
The Hacker News thread on this was a mix of legal debate and pure comedy. One user found the actual GitHub issue where Don Ho confronted the site owner, and Don was not pulling any punches. He basically told them they are breaking the law every day the site is up, and threatened legal escalation if they did not take it down immediately.
But the funniest part of the thread was a commenter who had just spent weeks using AI agents to build a clean room, spec-driven Linux port of Notepad++. They were planning to release it under the name Nootpad, spelled N-O-O-T-P-A-D, but they were sitting on the release because they were terrified of stepping on toes or violating open source etiquette. Then they saw this Mac guy completely steal Don Ho's identity and face, and they realized their little Nootpad project was probably fine by comparison.
That is hilarious, but it did spark a serious conversation about trademark law in the open source world. Some people were arguing that since Don Ho refuses to make a Mac version, he's just squatting on the trademark and should let the community fill the void. But as several lawyers in the thread pointed out, that is not how trademarks work.
Right, you cannot just steal the Pepsi trademark to sell your own soda just because Pepsi doesn't sell the specific flavor you want. A trademark indicates the source and provenance of a product. If Don Ho doesn't actively defend his trademark against imposters, he risks losing the legal right to it entirely. You are perfectly free to make a text editor for Mac that looks and acts like Notepad++, you just cannot call it Notepad++ and pretend you are Don Ho.
Exactly. Call it something else, give credit to the original for inspiration, and move on. Speaking of hardware and consumer rights, our fourth story is a massive update out of Europe. Starting in February 2027, removable batteries in smartphones will be mandatory across the EU.
This is a huge win for the right to repair movement. The new regulation states that new smartphones and tablets must be designed so that end users can replace the battery themselves using standard tools. This means the era of batteries being heavily glued into the chassis, requiring heat guns and chemical solvents to remove, is coming to an end.
The environmental impact of this is the main driver. Millions of phones are thrown away just because the battery degrades after 2 or 3 years. If you can just pop the back off and put in a fresh battery for $30, people will keep their phones much longer. It also makes recycling safer because glued-in batteries often catch fire in shredding facilities.
But the Hacker News comments quickly zeroed in on the fine print, because there is always a loophole. The regulation has an exception for devices that are highly water-resistant, specifically IP67 rated, and have a battery that retains at least 80. On the surface, this sounds absolutely terrifying. If you use Edge's built-in password manager, someone could theoretically run a program that dumps the browser's memory and reads all your passwords in plain text.
But the Hacker News discussion provided some much-needed context and dialed back the panic significantly.
Yeah, the top comment referenced a famous concept from Microsoft developer Raymond Chen called the airtight hatchway. The idea is that if a malicious actor is already in a position to read the arbitrary memory of your running applications, they have already bypassed all the security. They are already on the other side of the airtight hatchway.
Exactly. To read the memory of the Edge browser process, the attacker either needs to be running software as the administrator of your machine or running as your user account. And if a hacker is already running code as you on your computer, it is game over. They do not need to scrape your browser memory. They could just install a keylogger, read your personal files, or literally just ask the browser to export your passwords.
Someone even pulled up the official threat model documentation for the Chromium project, which Edge is based on. Google explicitly states that physically local attacks where someone has compromised your operating system user account are outside their threat model. No browser can protect you from an attacker who has total control of your device.
That being said, some security-minded folks in the thread argued for defense in depth. They pointed out that while it might not stop a dedicated hacker with admin rights, clearing passwords from memory when they are not being used is still a good practice. It protects against more obscure vulnerabilities, like a random bug that accidentally leaks memory contents to a website.
True. Other password managers like Bitwarden or 1Password typically require a master password or biometric check to unlock, and they try to wipe the secrets from memory shortly after use. But doing that perfectly in a massive, multi-threaded application like a web browser is incredibly difficult. The CPU and compiler often optimize away the code meant to overwrite the memory. So while it sounds like a scary headline, it is really just a reminder that your browser's security relies entirely on your operating system security. Keep your machine free of malware, and you will be fine.
That is a great takeaway to end on. That wraps up our coverage of yesterday's top stories from May 4th, 2026. From making friends at the squat rack to GameStop trying to buy the internet's garage sale, it has been a wild news day.
It really has. Thanks for tuning in to episode 386 of HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the best discussions from Hacker News. Until then, keep building and stay curious.